Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining me on the conference call today. Hope everyone's doing well physically and mentally during these continued times of social distancing. As we get started here, if everybody would stay on mute for me, that way we won't have any interference in the background. And then once this is completed, if anybody has any questions or needs anything from me, feel free to give me a call, shoot me an email, whatever works best for you guys. I'm going to spend a little bit of our time today discussing the current market environment, some economic data, and some economic projections, as well as where I believe the market's going to be headed from here. During or after this call, if anyone has any questions for me, again, like I mentioned earlier, any questions for me or needs anything, please feel free to give me a call. I'm going to go ahead and start off with some positive news. On August 18th, 2020, so last week, the S&P index closed at a record high of 3,389.78. This was surpassing our previous record high set on February 19th before the pandemic set in. The market has recovered from the lows, even with the ongoing pandemic and an upcoming presidential election. And we also have increased trade tensions between the U.S. and China. Since setting the new record high on August 18th, the markets continue to trend upwards. We set another record high yesterday with the S&P reaching 3,443.62. At this point, forward returns are starting to look like they may be a little bit muted. And don't be surprised if we have a temporary sell-off, give back 5 or 10% over the short term. We'll discuss a little bit more about this a little later on the call. I'm going to start discuss a little bit of economic information. The unemployment rate in July fell to 10.2% from 11.1% in June. The number of unemployed persons dropped 1.4 million to 16.3 million. Despite the declines that we've had recently over the last 3 months, unemployment is still up 6.7% since February, and the number of unemployed persons is 10.6 million. Currently, the projection for August's unemployment is 10.2%. We're seeing estimates for September coming in at around 12%. This would be an increase from the average of around 10% this month and the expected for next month. And this is most likely going to be due to layoffs that are going to happen due to restrictions being removed from different government lending programs. And earlier this week, American Airlines announced that they're planning on laying off somewhere in the 10 to 15,000 range of folks once the restrictions are lifted. I believe that there's gonna be other businesses that follow suit. This is gonna lead to a temporary spike in unemployment. However, I do believe that it'll be short-lived and the rate is gonna slowly return to its historical levels. As the economy continues to be restarted, jobs are going to come back and unemployment is going to go back to that historical range of around 6%. But if you remember back in February, we were at historical lows in the 4% range of unemployment. I don't know that we're going to head back there right away, but I do think we're going to get back in the 6, 7, 8% range relatively quickly and then stay there until we get back to full growth. GDP, gross domestic product, decreased 32.9% for the second quarter. GDP is expected to bounce back really strong in the third quarter and be up double digits. Right now, the projections are coming in at around 14.62%. We also anticipate that the fourth quarter is going to continue this upward trend that we're going to start this quarter. We do expect growth to bounce back, return to normal levels sometime in 2021. Historic levels for GDP are right around 3%. I would expect us to get somewhere in the 2 to 3% average range once we get back to a sense of normalcy. And we're probably gonna be back in this old, what we would call Goldilocks economy, which is where everything, you know, we're not too hot, not too cold, everything's just sort of trudging along. A recession is technically two consecutive quarters of negative GDP. We currently we are currently in a technical recession, but it doesn't feel the same since mainly what's been happening has been mainly self-inflicted. And we've also received massive monetary and fiscal stimulus that have lessened the blow. The economy should bounce back really fast once we resume full operations and the fear of contracting the virus subsides. If we take a look at inflation, annual inflation rate in the U.S. rose 0.6% in July, and that was maintaining the 0.6% that we posted in June. The historical average for inflation is right around 3%. But what we're seeing is that the longstanding structural forces that have kept inflation low, they remain intact, and they'll keep inflation expectations low for the near term. In the medium to long term, we do think inflation could increase, definitely based on the amount of stimulus that's been injected into the system, and the fact that we also have the potential for rising commodity prices. So as demand increases, commodity prices will increase, and that will help add a little bit to the inflation. But we are still so far below the 3% historical average that it's not going to be as big of a hit to your wallet as it's not going to be runaway inflation, basically. Now we'll talk a little bit about the stock market. So what we're seeing is growth companies are outperforming more value-oriented companies. The larger companies are outperforming smaller companies, and the U.S. companies are outperforming non-U.S. companies. The sectors so far that are leading us this year are definitely technology. Technology's companies are up around 31.5% year to date. Consumer discretionary companies up around 19.5% year to date. Consumer services companies are up around 16.3% year to date. And our laggards so far this year are energy companies, which are down collectively around 37%. Financials, the banks and other different financial companies are down around 17.5%. And utilities, which are down around 6.4%. So the S&P 500 from the peak on February 19th through the low on Monday, March 23rd, fell from a little under 3,400 to a little under 2,200. That's a drop of around 1,200 points or a decline in value of around 35%. Through yesterday, the S&P was sitting at 3,443.62. We have regained 1,249.62, or the equivalent of 56.95% from the lows that we set in March. And as mentioned earlier, yesterday we hit a new all-time high on the S&P. And so far today, it looks like we might have another all-time high today. So for the Dow Jones Industrial, from the peak on February 12th through the low on Monday, March 23rd, the Dow fell from around 30,000 to a little over 18,000. This is a drop of around 11,000 points, which is the equivalent of being down 38%. Through yesterday, the Dow was sitting at 28,248.44, which is an increase of 10,021.44 points, or the equivalent of 54.98% from the lows that we'd achieved in March. And we're still approximately, for the Dow's approximately 4.61% away from the highs that it reached on February 12th. And so the last call, we were discussing that we were in a bear market and the different types of bear markets. Well, technically, we're not in a bear market anymore. Which a bear market is characterized by any decline from a high of 20% or more. So the bear market technically ended for the S&P 500 when we eclipsed highs that we set on February 19th. The Dow is still in bear market territory. It will exit bear market territory once it gets above the highs set on February 19th. So once it achieves that extra 4.61%. If we look at bonds and kind of the fixed income market, bond markets continue to be stable after all the liquidity and stimulus that the Fed injected into the system. The dislocations and price swings that we're seeing, that we were seeing back in March, have since subsided, and there's definitely plenty of liquidity in the fixed income market now. We also have the Fed standing by, you know, basically saying that they're ready to be there and do whatever it takes if they're needed. We look at the 10-year Treasury. Just recently, as of yesterday, it was yielding 0.69%. This time last year, the 10-year Treasury was yielding 1.52%. That's a decrease of a little over 50% from a yield standpoint over that time period. If we look at high-quality U.S. corporate bonds, they're currently yielding around 1.5%. This time last year, they were yielding around 2.36%. That's also a decrease of around 35%. And if we look at the overnight lending rate, the effective funds rate set by the Federal Reserve, it's currently at around 0.09. Their target is somewhere between 0 and 0.25. And right now it's sitting at 0.09. This time last year, it was sitting at 2.12%. So that's a decrease of around 96%. So all in all, we're in an ultra-low interest rate environment. And to go ahead and sum everything up here, hopefully we're all safe and we all continue to be safe. One thing that's really helped us through and really helped the market bounce back this year is all the government stimulus that we received, and especially with the Federal Reserve stepping in and providing a promise to do whatever it takes. We've definitely seen the markets calm down and recover. I think we're probably going to receive a second round of fiscal stimulus soon, once the politicians can come to an agreement and they return from their recess. I would have actually thought that we would have already had another round of stimulus here. I'm a little surprised that it's taken this long for them to do it, because what we are seeing is it's going to take a little bit of time to have the stimulus work through the system. But what we're seeing is coming out in September, unemployment's going to jump back up a little bit. We're going to have more unemployed. We're also going to have less money for folks to spend. One thing we saw that was real interesting is that as soon as the stimulus checks went out, consumer spending rose around the exact same time that the stimulus checks went out. And about 70% of our growth, 70% of the component of GDP is growth. So if we can get some more money into the consumer's hands, we can help our growth, and which will help create more jobs. So hopefully they're going to work through that, get something done. Otherwise, you know, we could have that correction, or we could enter into another bear market, if, you know, in a worst case scenario. And so we're also continuing to see positive developments on the vaccine front. It continues to look like we might have a vaccine by the end of the year. This would be a positive development. The market's definitely, you can tell the market definitely gets excited when we have some sort of a treatment or, you know, positive results from a vaccine. It gives the market confidence that we're going to pull through this, and things will return back to normal. Since the lows in March, the market's bounced back really fast. Mainly due to that massive stimulus that we received, optimism on various treatments and a vaccine for the virus, and the slow reopening of the economy. We recently set those all-time highs. I think the last call or the last letter, I was anticipating that we would probably reach those all-time highs sometime in the second half of the year, if not early next year. So we definitely reached them a little quicker than I had anticipated. And so given the fact that we have had this massive rally from the lows, valuations are starting to get a little bit stretched. We do have an upcoming election, and we do have tensions with China that are increasing. So one thing I do think is I think we are going to have some increased volatility here between now and at least the election, and maybe even a little bit further out. So volatility really, really spiked in February and March. It has since slowly decreased. It's, you know, kind of based on the VIX, it's still a little elevated. The VIX is right around 23, 24, when historically it sits around 15. So we're still a little elevated right now, but nothing like the 80 plus that it got during February and March. So volatility is working its way down, but I do think we're going to have elevated volatility for a period of time until we get more knowns. So until the presidential election's over, until we have more clarity on the virus vaccine front, until we have more clarity on U.S., China. So there's a lot of things out there that could, you know, make the market have a little pullback or a correction. So I do think there's a good chance that sometime in the near future we give back some of our gains, especially since from the lows that we are up on the S&P, up over, you know, in the 50% range. I don't see where it would be a big deal if we were to have a 5% a pullback or a 10% correction, which a correction is just 10% pullback. So I would think that would be perfectly natural and not a bad thing, probably actually a good thing. So one other thing is, though, since we are in this super low interest rate environment, low interest rates are going to allow valuations for companies to run a little bit higher than if we were in more of a moderate to high interest rate scenario. And we're also seeing that this quarter and in the fourth quarter, we're seeing earnings growth start to return. We're starting to have a little bit of growth in earnings. We're in this low interest rate environment. These should help the stock market continue in its kind of recovery and its upward trend that it's been in. So that concludes the call for today. I want to thank everybody who took the time to listen to our conference call. We thank you for your continued trust and confidence in our firm. And definitely, you guys feel free to give me a call, shoot me an email, send me a text if you have any questions or if you need anything from me. Thanks, and have a great day.